You're listening to the MoneyWeb Now podcast series with Simon Brown. Live streamed every weekday at 6:30 a.m.
It's Tuesday, 7 October. We've got U.S. import export data due 2:30 this afternoon. I'm Simon Brown, coming at you live and loud from the MoneyWeb Global Headquarters in Johannesburg, South Africa. On the show today, Petli Radin has Serenia Capital Advisors. So, US markets at all-time highs, but they are not cheap. Does this worry him? It worries lots of people. How's he responding to it? Keith McLachlan from Element Investment Managers. His free cash flow to EV yield. He wrote an article on MoneyWeb about it a week or so ago. I want to dig into it. It looked quite exciting. And then we're chatting with Just Pay Now. Black Friday. Hey, I mean, it is still a long way away, but of course it's become Black November, and is it going to start creeping into October? We'll get details around that. This podcast is brought to you by Stanlib Asset Management. Invest in more global opportunities through their partnership with JP Morgan Asset Management. Morning headlines, MoneyWeb: SA potato prices plummet amid bumper crop and oversupply. And from Bloomberg, AMD inks chip deal with OpenAI that triggers explosive rally. AMD landed a deal with OpenAI to build artificial intelligence infrastructure, giving the chipmaker a chance to challenge NVIDIA. Morning markets. The US was green. S&P up 0.4%, Nasdaq up 0.8%. Over in the east, it is mixed and closed. Sydney's down 0.4%. Tokyo is up 0.7%. And Hong Kong and hence Tencent closed for the day following the Chinese Mid-Autumn Festival. Commodities are green. Gold futures, 3,986. Brent, 65.71. Platinum, 1,656. Palladium, 1,360. The Rand is 17.17. Bitcoin, 124,300. And top 40 opening call, red open expected, 200 points or 0.2% down.
MoneyWeb Now. On the money. Also available on podcast.
Chatting now with Petli Radin, hey, Serenia Capital Advisors. Petli, appreciate the early morning. As I said in the intro there, we have got, I mean, so much is at highs. Bitcoin's at highs. Gold is at highs. Our local market as well. But I want to touch on US markets, S&P, NASDAQ. Both closed highs last night. Both are expensive. I mean, the S&P is at, you know, almost record PEs if we remove the pandemic sort of dirty data. How are you playing this? I mean, markets are going up. I like that. Expensive bothers me. What's your response?
Well, good morning, Simon. I think I'm on record in these streets talking about markets are overcooked.
Yeah.
And, you know, all logic sort of determines that they should be coming down.
Mm-hmm.
And that I was expecting in the second half of this year that markets soften. And then a couple of weeks ago, you know, I think we've spoken about it before, actually, on your show as well. Our job is not to predict the market. Our job is to follow the market.
Yeah.
Very simple, right? So we overcomplicate it by thinking too much sometimes. And I think you're right. I think that they're from a you know, fundamental standpoint, yes, most of the rally is concentrated in, you know, AMD and NVIDIA and all these mega cap tech stocks, right? And you look at PEs are very high, and you look at all these sort of signs of strain. However, we have in sort of easing interest rate cycle, appears that the, you know, US is going to sort of quote unquote stimulus the market higher. So I don't know, man. I don't think that you can stand in front of the bus and decide that it must now stop. It's bigger than we are. So from a logic perspective, yes, maybe the market is somewhat overvalued, and there's a lot of sort of risk in the sense that, you know, a lot of the return is kind of concentrated in a very few stocks.
Mm-hmm.
However, the market has to go up. I mean, we can't fight it, right? It is bigger than us. So I think for now, I mean, we took a long trade, published it on our trading view profile, you know, on the 28th of August, saying exactly this, like if the market wants to go higher, we're not going to fight it. It broke a resistance level. And it's still going up, right? So I think the key is really just to sit with dance close to the door. I was talking to a client about this the other day as well. I mean, never in either of our careers, he's been in the market longer than I have we seen our local market, for example, run 53,000 points from April to now. I mean, that is in a straight line, basically. That is unheard of, really. So does it last? I mean, probably not. But does it end today? Probably not, right? I think locally as well, we might see a healthy pullback. But if you look at what's happening in the world, the gold price is just going. And it seems as though there's this global shortage of gold, which, again, is a worrying sign for equities, right? But it seems as though the market is kind of trading this global shortage of gold, and gold is just rallying. And for us in South Africa, man, we've got a lot of gold miners on our index, right? So I think that there's a lot of upside, at least for us. I stand by what I've been talking about for the last year or two, which is that if we look at emerging markets versus developed markets, emerging markets should outperform developed markets. I think that's been the case now, at least for this year so far. So that will probably continue to be the case. And that is going to be on the back of commodities, right? Commodities, prices, precious metals are really charging. And thus, so is our market because of our exposure to that stuff. So for now, you know, I don't know. It's a bit of a challenging thing to say, kind of just close your eyes and go with it. At some point, the party ends. The power of a trailing stop loss, I guess, is what determines, you know, when we get out. But until then, I don't think that there's much we can really do to try and fight the market. It certainly won't stop because I think it's overvalued.
Right? 100%. And I mean, so it was 6 months ago that we had the liberation tariff sell-off. On our local market, since then, we've only had six red weeks. 33,000 points and only six red weeks. I take your point, and you're the second person to say it recently. Dance close to the door, but for now it's going up. Let's not fight it. Peter Radin, hey, Serenia Capital Advisors. Appreciate the early morning. And that's our question on the LinkedIn and Twitter. Can markets continue higher from here? They can, I suppose. But have your vote. Have your say. LinkedIn and Twitter. Give your money the return at once without taking a flight with the StanLib Global Select Fund, an offshore equity fund submanaged by JP Morgan Asset Management.
MoneyWeb now on the money.
Chatting now with Keith McLachlan. You find him, of course, Element Investment Managers. Keith, appreciate the early morning. It was just last week you were writing your article, your fortnightly article on MoneyWeb. You're talking, Mr. Price, you were talking the free cash flow to EV yield. And I went and dug around. And I got to say, I'd never heard of it before. I really liked the concept. I want to dig into it. But let's start with the simple stuff. Free cash flow, enterprise value. Free cash flow is literally what it says in the sticker. The money that comes in less the expenses, essentially what the company has left over. It might not be dividends, but it's going to be used to grow and benefit shareholders in the short term.
Good morning, Simon, and I'm glad you read my article. But absolutely, a good way of looking at this and just standing back, we're trying to assess a company in terms of profits, but accounting profits have a lot of increasingly airy-fairy assumptions in it. So we're trying to get a sense of what true profits are. And true profits are probably found in the cash flow statement, where it's the cash flow from operations, less expenses, and less the capex needed to maintain and or grow the business. And that's really what free cash flow is. It's the true cash profits of a business that management can go and apply to either acquisitions, pay off debt, pay out dividends, buy back shares, but they don't have to put it back into the operations of the business. It's really free cash flow.
Yeah, it's that. It says it in the sticker, I suppose. Enterprise value, this is market cap plus debt less cash. In other words, if I were to buy a company, I'd have to pay the market cap. I'd have to pay off the debt, in essence. I mean, I could manage, you know, get some T's and C's, but in essence, pay off the debt. So those are my two costs. And then, of course, the cash on the balance sheet is mine. It is in a, it's kind of like a true valuation or value of what a company is. It is the, what are you going to shell out if you were to buy it in its entirety?
Certainly. So people would have seen acquisitions done on a cash-free, debt-free basis.
Mm-hmm.
That's really what it is how much does it cost to buy the whole business, and we neutralize it for cash, mm-hmm. and we neutralize it for debt. Perhaps another way of looking at it, and very relevant for this free cash flow to EV ratio, is that EV, the enterprise value of a business, is really the cost of the funders.
It's, yeah.
On the one hand, it's the shareholders funding equity, but on the other hand, it's the debt, the creditors funding the debt side of the business. And therefore, this is, these funds are being applied to generate those cash flows. And we're making it agnostic as to the gearing structure.
Yeah, I like that. It's the agnostic part. And then what this essentially does is you've got that free cash flow to enterprise value. You present it as a yield, as you could a dividend yield or any other sort of yield. It literally says that this is what your business, your company, your investment is returning. And in the case of Mr. Price, it was quite a staggering number. You compare it to, I suppose, the South African tenure, which is your risk-free, and then suddenly you get a good sense of where value lies.
Well, certainly. I mean, on the one hand, the free cash flow side that we've unpacked is let's call it a true cash profit.
Mm-hmm.
On the other hand, the EV side allows us to make this ratio comparable across companies and businesses with different gearing ratios,
mm-hmm.
you know, different amounts of debt or net cash in the balance sheet. We've neutralized for that. And then more subtly, the free cash flow to EV ratio arrives at an interest rate. And conceptually, if you look at that, if this business never changed its cash flows, you know, its profits were flat going into the future,
yep.
for perpetuity, that's almost like the interest rate you'd earn on your capital at this current market price. And that more subtly makes it comparable across asset classes that earn yields. You know, is equity expensive or cheap? Well, that's actually a relative discussion. And this allows us to compare it to, for example, bonds. We could hold Mr. Price for 10 years, or we could hold a 10-year bond.
Mm-hmm.
And at the end of that, and you're holding that 10-year bond to maturity, well, you've got a certain series of cash flows, and then you've gotten your capital back, hopefully.
Yeah.
In Mr. Price's case, you have a certain series of cash flows. They're less certain. But in 10 years' time, you probably still own Mr. Price, and it's probably still there. So it doesn't necessarily end after 10 years, but it makes it more comparable. It allows us to consider valuations in the context of sovereign risk,
mm-hmm.
in the context of multi-assets and different interest rates. And that's very, very useful.
Yeah, absolutely. I like that. And of course, over the 10 years, we expect that all things equal, whereas your bonds have flatlined, because that's what it is. Your Mr. Price hopefully has increased its free cash flow and is even more attractive. We'll leave it there. Keith McLachlan, Element Investment Managers. Appreciate the early morning. The Standard Flexible Income Fund is designed for pre- and post-retirement income and capital preservation needs. Retire without regret with Stanlib Asset Management.
MoneyWeb now on the money.
Chatting now with Mark McLeary. He is Chief Data and Analytics Officer at PayJust Now. Mark, appreciate the time. We're in October, but already minds are turning towards Black Friday, which is a late November event. But it has changed, and this was a conversation I was having last year and perhaps even the year before. It's no longer just a day. It's become a much larger, much longer, and I think a much more strategic shopping event for retailers in South Africa.
100%, Simon. Yeah, it seems to creep a little bit earlier every year. Much like Christmas decorations in the malls, right?
Hey, I saw Christmas decorations this weekend, and I haven't had my birthday yet, and it stresses me a little bit, I have to say. And a big part of this, I mean, what are the categories that sort of dominate Black Friday? I mean, I always think of, and I'm going, you know, thinking of the US maybe 10, 15 years ago, it was electronics, it was big screen TVs. Is it the same locally?
Yes, I think more so this year. Mm-hmm. There's been sort of a dramatic influx of technology like large screen TVs at really low prices, comparable to what we could pick them up for a few years back. But aside from the sort of aspirational sort of home tech, it's also the necessary home tech that makes life a lot easier. We're seeing a lot of interest in things like washing machines and mm-hmm. vacuum cleaners, beds and the likes. But then also we will never get away from the apparel, fashion and beauty categories either. Mm. Yeah, we're seeing a lot of interest in terms of how she's sort of navigating our app and searching through the stores that we have listed in our shopping destination.
Yeah, I want to come to the buy now pay later and how that perhaps helps, particularly because Christmas and back to school are the next two consecutive months. But before we do that, discount range. I mean, what is the sort of sweet spot in terms of discount as a consumer? Frankly, more is better for me, but for the retailer, I imagine there's a bit more of a balancing act.
100%. I mean, you've got your South African retailers like navigating a really precarious line, trying to remain competitive against really overpowering international competition mm-hmm. that are flooding our screens and our shores with their products coming in cheap and at the same time cheap type products as well. So the competition there is durable value products where taking part in a sale. It's also emotional. It's like, I got a good deal here. So the sweet mm-hmm. spot between the 20 to 30% range, if it's logical. Anything over and above that, if it sounds too good to be true, it typically borderlines there.
Yeah, absolutely. You might get the 50%, but it might not be quite what you're thinking. In terms of, and I said, because so now we've got Black Friday, which runs through most of November. Then we run into year-end Christmas, which is much of December. And then, of course, it's January, which is, for those with children, it is back to school. It's 3 months that put extreme pressure on family budget. Buy now, pay later. Are people sort of being smart with using this to sort of try and stretch it and take some of the pain? I mean, in the one sense, I could imagine, pushing some of those maybe Christmas and back to school costs into maybe even February and March to try and ease the pain.
Yeah, that's exactly it. I mean, at Pages Now, how we've been able to help transform the South Africa, how South Africans shop, with only 1 in 5 adults technically having a credit card. Buy now, pay later as a solution is giving millions more access to sort of Black Friday mm-hmm. And festive type deals, but responsibly, helping them afford bigger purchases without dipping into savings or falling into a debt trap. In fact, our transaction values grew over 100% in 24 over 23.
Wow.
And so that and with with over now and 3 million consumer users, mm-hmm. 80% of those of those consumers are repeat shoppers using Pages Now. So it's gone from buy now, pay later being a fad and something that was niche to actually becoming a mainstream payments sort of method. And that really puts us in a position to expand our offering to the consumer and actually give more utility to her at the till. So we've actually grown from just 3 installments to now offering pay in 6 and pay in 12 as well. And that's just, we think this year we'll give her that extra helping hand, through this really painful 3 month period for anybody who's managing a household, right?
And I'm thinking e-commerce, but you just mentioned in-store. And as you said that, I'm like, yeah, I see this at till points in-store. This is not just online. This is bricks and mortar as well.
Yeah, but if you look at the stats that came out with the chaps at Worldwide Works, they're expecting 10% of the retail GDP to be e-commerce. I think when PayJustNow now had its fledgling transactions, it was around the 2.7, 2.8% mark. So not only has e-commerce seen a remarkable growth, but we've seen our consumer that typically shopped in store and now feels safe and trust that they'll get the goods transported to them, is enjoying the convenience of being able to shop both online and in store. Notwithstanding, though, 90% of retail GDP is in brick and mortar. So you've got to be where she needs you, and at the till is overwhelmingly convenient.
We'll leave it there. That's Mark Michelli. He's Chief Data and Analytics Officer. Just pay just now. Appreciate the early morning. That's it for today. We're chatting with Nick Kunze, Sanlam Private Wealth, yesterday. Vehicle sales, which for September were the highest level they had been in a decade. We had to go back to September 2015 to find a higher number. We asked if there was opportunity here for investors. And Nick said, maybe it's with the loan originators where the opportunity really lies. And we asked you, just over 40% were saying, yeah, you worried sales are going to collapse. A third said, yes, looking great. The rest said, you need to have a look. Have your vote. Have your say, LinkedIn and Twitter. This podcast is brought to you by Stanlib Asset Management. Invest in more certainty to navigate volatile market conditions. We're live every weekday morning, the MoneyWeb website and the app, 6:30 a.m. podcast just after 7. Thanks to my team, Eddie, Nobukle, Nicole, to you for listening, my guests for their time. My name is Simon Brown. This is MoneyWeb Now. We'll chat again tomorrow. Government bonds, the end of the shock absorber.
You've been listening to another MoneyWeb Now podcast, posted every weekday at 7 a.m. on moneyweb.co.za. MoneyWeb Now, on the money.